This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, it's Claire Kimball here, the founder of The Squiz. This week marks 6 years of putting out The Squiz Today podcast, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you for listening. If you love what we do, and we hope you do, please tell your friends about us. It's all the birthday present we could ever need.
Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Kate Watson.
It's Tuesday the 30th of April. In your Squiz today, Albanese is under fire, protesting for peace in the Middle East, some high-level comings and goings, and Taylor Swift ties with Madonna. This is your Squiz today. Kate, nice to have you on for a cameo today.
Oh, Taylor Swift. And I think we're going to talk about netball as well, Alice. So I'm pretty stoked to be here today. Siobhan's a little unwell, but I'm happy to fill in.
Yeah, let's get into it. So we spoke yesterday about the rallies held across the country over the weekend, demanding government action to tackle the issue of violence against women. One of those was in Canberra, which was attended by our PM, Anthony Albanese. And yesterday, his speech became a hot topic, Kate.
Yeah, bear with me because it's a bit of back and forth, but basically during that speech, Albanese said that he and Minister for Women, Katie Gallagher, had both asked the organisers for a chance to speak, but he'd been told that it wouldn't be possible, which was something he mentioned when he did in fact speak. At the time, the rally organiser Sarah Williams could be seen in the background saying that what he was recounting was a flat out lie, and since she said that he only spoke because he was being heckled by the audience.
Yeah, so if you saw any footage of him speaking, you might have noticed a woman crying on the stage next to him. That was Sarah Williams. She says Albanese's office told her before the event that he would walk alongside the protesters but not speak.
It's a lot of he said, she said, but the upshot of it is that Albanese has been questioned a lot about what went down in the lead up to that rally and during that rally, with the accusation being that he demanded to speak. He's been keen to redirect the conversation. He reckons, and this is his quote, "This should not be a distraction from what is a very serious issue." But that response didn't fly with several critics, including Nationals leader David Littleproud. He said Albanese's actions were tone deaf.
Yeah, and he also said it was Albanese's responsibility to lead this nation, not to make petty political points at the expense of a brave woman who has come forward in her community. And as we mentioned yesterday, this conversation is likely to continue with an emergency national cabinet meeting being held tomorrow on the issue of domestic violence. Kate, the parents of a 16-year-old boy who's accused of committing a terrorist attack in Sydney's southwest have spoken publicly for the first time since he was arrested for stabbing Bishop Marmari Emmanuel.
Yeah, they haven't been named because they're in hiding. They're, of course, worried about their safety. What they say is that their son has serious anger management issues, long-standing mental health concerns, and is also suspected of being autistic. They've been insistent that he's not a terrorist, but police say they've found text messages between the 16-year-old and several other teenagers who were arrested in raids last week. They're all alleged to be part of a terror cell.
Yeah, yesterday police shared the contents of some of those text messages. They include messages about wanting to target Jews, being ready to die for their cause, and also calling themselves soldiers of Allah. It feels like there's fresh ceasefire negotiations kicking off between Israel and Hamas every week at the moment, and the latest round has just gotten underway. And as that happens, Kate, there's extra pressure mounting on Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu to reach a deal.
Yeah, and that pressure is particularly coming out of the US, which is where there have been big protests at numerous university campuses over the weekend. There was fighting between pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian sides. One of the major fights was at the University of California on Sunday. And at Columbia University, more than 100 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested for trespassing. That comes after a lot of criticism that the campus was allowing demonstrations that many Jewish people regarded as anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's right. Reports say there have been isolated incidents of anti-Semitism and harassment, but the college demonstration leaders say that outsiders who have hijacked the events are responsible for those. A message now from our podcast partner, Uber. Busy parents, this one's for you. After a successful launch across Canada, the US and Latin America, Uber's bringing their teen ride service to Australia. What it does is it allows teenagers aged 13 and up to ride on their own with their parents' oversight. If you're curious how it works, we wanted to know too. Stay listening at the end of the podcast where we talk with Gab Vieira, a mum of four and someone who reckons this will be pretty handy in getting her kids from A to B. And just a quick note, Uber Teen is only available in the ACT, Tassie and South Australia for now, with plans to roll out to the rest of Australia this year. Kate, it's only Tuesday and there's already been a few high-level job movements this week. To start with, Seven News boss Craig McPherson has called it quits.
So Craig McPherson's the person in charge of news in its entirety at Channel 7. It's been weeks of pressure on that part of the business. Other members of the leadership team have stepped down. Those scandals include things like Bruce Lehrman's controversial spotlight interview and the network's misidentification of the Bondi attacker. And then completely unrelated, Alice, when you're talking about moves and high-level job movements, former Aussie netball captain Liz Ellis has joined the board of Netball Australia. The reason that's notable is that she's been an outspoken critic of netball for its handling of a series of off-court dramas late last year. And finally, I'll throw to you for another sport one.
Yeah, the other one is that former Aussie cricketer Jason Gillespie has also been named Pakistan's next test coach. Another thing that's been getting a lot of airtime recently is all the records that Taylor Swift has been smashing her way through. And Kate, she's notched a couple of new ones with her latest album.
I have definitely contributed to some of these records. I've listened to this album a number of times, as I'm sure you have too, Alice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As I said, Netball and Taylor Swift in one podcast, This Is My Day. We're, of course, referring to the Tortured Poets Department, TTPD. For short, for those fans out there. It's been out for a matter of weeks. She's broken a heap of records. She's now equaled Madonna's title as the female artist with the most number ones in UK charts history. She's also beaten a record held by the Beatles in how quickly she's racked up 12 UK number one albums. So if you weren't sure about how big Taylor Swift was, which I'm pretty sure people are by now, she's, you know, stratospheric now.
Yeah, she's also stratospheric here in Australia. She currently holds the entire top 10 on the singles chart with songs from the Tortured Poets Department. And Swift herself is pretty stoked with all of that. She jumped on social media yesterday to say her mind is blown and she's completely floored by the love that's been shown to the album, particularly from UK.
Thanks, Swifty. Happy to help.
Squeeze the day, Kate.
Squeeze the day. You and Siobhan mentioned on the podcast yesterday that Anthony Albanese is in Alice Springs, so expecting a bit of news out of Alice Springs today. Also, you told me that retail trade data is out, Alice.
Yeah, so that's another indicator of how the economy is going. And it's also timely because it works in with this week's News Club episode, Kate.
How about that? I can talk about News Club. So News Club is out today. I've been doing a bit of reading, Alice, about ultra-fast fashion and in particular a company called Temu. People might have shopped on it or might recognize it because they've really saturated the market in the last few years. Then I got into researching Shein as well, which is another big e-commerce platform that sells clothes very, very cheaply. Long way of saying, this week's News Club is an interview with fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review, Lauren Sams, about ultra-fast fashion and the associated problems.
Yeah, that interview is out on the News Club feed this morning. And Kate, the part of the chat that I found really fascinating was the shift in consumers from wanting things fast to wanting things cheap.
Yeah, that's because Temu and Shein ship from factories in China. And this isn't a News Club episode, so I won't keep going. But it's super interesting. It takes a little longer for stuff to arrive, but people don't seem to mind, Alice, when you can buy three t-shirts for $3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good episode. Just search for News Club in your podcast app, hit follow, and you're good to go. And that's it for us today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow. G'day, I'm Alice Dempster and I'm chatting with mum of four, Gab Vieira. She's here to talk to us about Uber Teen. It's a new service that means anyone over 13 can ride in an Uber alone. So there's a bit to unpick here, Gab. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So you have four kids. How do you currently manage getting them from A to B?
Yeah, so I've got one teen out of the four, but I manage them by doing a very big juggle, juggling between myself, my husband, mm-hmm. grandparents and even calling on mum friends to try and pick her up when she needs to get somewhere and I just can't due to work.
That sounds a little bit stressful to manage.
very, especially when she's quite eager to get somewhere and I just really can't get her there.
So when you heard Uberteen was coming to Australia, I assume you thought that could potentially be a solution to getting her around. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of parents, you likely thought about the safety aspects of it. Can you walk me through that?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll be honest, when I first heard of it, I was like, probably not for me, just due to, like you said, safety concerns. But when the team walked me through all of the safety procedures that they actually have put into play, it definitely took my mind off it and I wasn't really that concerned about the safety element anymore. Obviously, being a parent of only daughters, safety is a big thing for me. So just making sure that I know that she's in absolutely safe hands. But the safety features which I really liked the most was the fact that I can actually call the driver at any time and check in to see how she's going, and also that they do have audio recording in all of the Uber for Teens journeys that they do take, and neither the driver nor Lacey or my daughter or anyone can delete those. So if we ever do need to listen back on the conversations that were had in the car, they can do that with no qualm of it ever being deleted.
And a couple of the other safety features, I was doing some reading earlier. There's also live trip tracking to let parents know when their teens request a ride. There's PIN verification to make sure they're getting into the right car.
Exactly.
And there's also Ride Check, which uses GPS to track the car. Mm-hmm. How many of those have you actually used, Gab?
So we went through a journey with her the other day and we used all of them. Mm. So every journey has all of those measures in play. Another thing I really liked, which I didn't mention before, was that only like 5-star rated drivers are allowed to pick up Uber for teens, as well as having children working for children with checks and only having like the highest score possible to be able to pick up children within that age category. So yeah, I definitely liked that I have notifications come through when she's ordered the Uber, when the Uber's arrived, when she's been picked up, the fact that she has that PIN that she needs to match with the driver, and that I can track her journey as well as see when she's being dropped off. So lots of notifications along the way to keep my mind at ease.
And Uber also has a lot of resources available to help you have conversations with your kids about safety. How have you used those?
You know, safety is one thing that they kind of learn at school, and we talk about stranger danger as just being parents, but to really have those deep fundamental conversations about, you know, how do you really remain safe and look after yourself when she's alone is not really something, because, you know, when I grew up, it's different to what is, you know, something that she needs to look out for now. So I liked that I was able to look onto the Uber website, have a look at what they recommend us talk about, the safety procedures, so that she also understands, don't just get into any Uber. Your driver needs to have these PINs. This is how you're going to be tracked. So to be able to have, you know, the itemized list, not even a list, but like, you know, the outline of how it's structured and the conversations we should be having was really, really helpful. It just, because I'll be like, just be careful of this. And she'd be like, but I don't know. But it's good to be able to say in depth, this is really what you should be looking out for. So yeah, definitely a valuable resource to have.
Fantastic. And how has your daughter found it?
Yeah, she likes to have the independence. Like, she likes to know that she has another option available to her now, but one that is also safe for her to use. You know, a perfect example, before I knew Uber for Teens was even available, I was at an event in the city and she decided she wanted to have a sleepover close to home, which was in the suburbs. And then all of a sudden she wasn't feeling well, and I was 2 hours away from being able to pick her up, and it was just the most stressful situation. Obviously I had to call in on my mum friends, and the grandparents lived too far away. So just to know that I could order that for her and know that she's safe to get her from A to B when I'm really stuck, it's a huge weight off my shoulders as a parent, knowing that if all else fails, or there is another option available to me that I know will get her from A to B if she needs to be.
Thanks for that, Gab. And just a quick note, Uberteen is only available in the ACT, Tassie and South Australia for now, with plans to roll out to the rest of Australia this year. If you want to learn more, just search Uber for Teens.